Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Rayleigh and Miss Rayleigh. Thank you for that special. Well, tonight is our observance of our Lord's Supper, and since we're having a unified service from our English and Spanish department, I've asked our Spanish pastor, Brother Gonzalez, to bring the evening message tonight, and so I want you to give him your undivided attention. And Brother Ricky, God bless you. Come preach to us. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir. Amen. All right. Abran sus Biblias, por favor. Esta noche. Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to make some Spanish announcements before I start, so just stay with me for a little bit. Open your Bibles here to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thought it would be appropriate to preach from that chapter tonight since we're having the Lord's Supper. Hermanos, solamente queremos anunciarles que mañana vamos a salir a las 6 de la tarde para la conferencia con el hermano Dani. A las 6 de la tarde el sábado saldremos a las 8 y media. El viernes a las 11 de la mañana empezaremos con la radio una vez más, en la 11:40. Así que todos ustedes que escuchan la radio, ahí estaremos en la 11:40. Todas las hermanas están invitadas a la despedida de la hermana Sandra, a las 7 de la noche, allí el 8 de abril, en el Fellowship Hall. También todos, it's the same in Spanish and English. Y'all understood that? All right, amen. A ver aquí rapidito. Okay. All right, in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, And we're going to read one verse tonight in your Bibles, and we'll try to preach a little bit tonight. And it's such a humiliating place to be here when Dr. Bob Smith is here. Amen. I feel like a young little boy in diapers when I preach before him. Amen. And when I preach before a college president and all these PhDs, man. And I told Brother Todd, I said, I'm nervous. I said, on Sundays, I'm not that nervous. I don't know why. Maybe it's these guys' faces make me nervous. I don't know. But amen. All right, let's stand, please, for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read one verse, and it's verse 24. Well, I'll read verse 23, 24, and 25 if you follow with me as I read these three verses. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me." Now I want to speak to you tonight on four things that we need to remember that we need. Four things that we need to remember that we need. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to be forgotten. One of my sons, I don't know why, but we've been in California a couple of times, and we've been eating some tacos and burritos, and afterwards, you know, we take off down the road and we say, "Well, where's Bobby?" And Bobby, yeah, where's Bobby? And, you know, Bobby's in the bathroom over there in the restaurant. And we go back and the poor guy is just walking back and forth, you know. it's sad when you're forgotten, amen. When I was in Bible college, I had one sister. I have two brothers and two sisters, and I thank God for one of my sisters. Amen? I thank God for one of my sisters because she never forgot me. And one time she sent me some food stamps. Amen? And I didn't have any money, and she said, "Ricky, I'm sending you some food stamps." So me and my wife, you know, we go up there to Aldi's store, and we're getting close to the cashier, and I tell my wife, I say, "Here, honey, you pay for them." You know? I thank the Lord for my sister Yolanda. She's prayed for her. She's got real bad diabetes, but she used to send me cookies all the time. Amen. And when you're in Bible college, you're over there all by yourself. You don't have money. You don't have a car. You don't have work. You don't have anything. Man, you appreciate anything. Amen. This lady used to give us tortillas with some rice, and we used to take those tortillas, eat them up iron. Amen. We used to heat up an iron, and man, you appreciate anything. Praise God. Man, we used to go to the mail station, see if there was any food or anything, and my sister used to pack me a big old box full of cookies with nuts and almonds and all kinds of things, and I really appreciate my sister. Amen. I appreciate one of our missionaries that left our church. Brother Arturo was with us for a long time, for about 15 years, 16 years. And every Monday or every Tuesday, he would just give me a call. And he just called me and said, "Hey, preacher, just call you to see how you're doing." And I said, "Man, I'm doing all right." At the beginning, you know, I kind of feared when he called, because every time he called, you know, he was asking me for some money. "Hey, can I borrow some money? Can I borrow some money?" I said, "Man, you need to start tithing. Amen. So God can bless you." Amen. So he started tithing, and then I started borrowing from him. Amen. That's crazy. But hey, you know, almost every week, almost every other week, he's in Honduras now, and he calls me. And he just calls me and says, "Hey, preacher, just thinking about you." But it's so good to be thought about. And, you know, all you kids, you love your mom and your dad. And usually you forget your mom and your dad all the time until you need some money. Amen. Or until you need some food. All right. But it's awful to be forgotten. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't want to be forgotten. And I want to speak to you on four things that we need to remember that we need. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we ask that you bless now these short minutes that we have to speak, Lord, and preach your word. I pray, oh God, you would make me a blessing. Lord, I feel so undeserving to be behind this pulpit with these dear people in our church and your bride. And Lord, I just ask that you make me a blessing. Holy Spirit, fill me tonight. And Lord, just teach me what to say and what not to say. And God, I ask that you'd bless our people as they listen tonight. Lord, unite us, Lord, as one, and help us to build and do great things for you. Thank you, Lord, for all the great men that have stood behind here. And thank you for Dr. Smith, Lord, that gave us an opportunity to work here. And now with Brother Lassiter, I pray, oh God, that you'd continue to bless the ministry that you put us in. And bless now, Lord, as we speak in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The Bible says there in verse 11, the Apostle Paul speaking to the church of Corinth. The church of Corinth was a troubled church. There was a lot of problems. There was a lot of issues. And one of the things that the Apostle Paul reminds the church of Corinth is that they some things they need to remember. And the word right there in verse 24, it says, the last phrase, it says, "This do in remembrance of me." And as I was studying some words in the Greek, I mean, sometimes I do get into the Greek, you know. Sometimes I do get into the Hebrew, and I don't know how to read it all, but I do get into the Greek, amen. But I was looking up the word remembrance, and it's an interesting word. And it means to retain or to have in mind an idea or an object that had been present before. Amen. To retain or to have in mind an idea or an object that had been present before, or an object which recurs to the mind afterwards. And then it says this, without the presence of its object. Amen? Without the presence of its object. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. He was buried and he rose again, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again. Amen? And but while he's gone, you know, he doesn't want to be forgotten. Amen? And I was looking at other definitions, and the word remembrance there, it says is when the same idea reoccurs without the operation of the like object, without external sensor. Amen. How many of you know when somebody is coming your way without seeing that person, just by listening to their steps? How many of y'all know that? Yeah. Can y'all smell people? You know, I can smell people. How many of y'all know when a skunk is around? Yeah. How many of y'all know when the devil's around? Yeah, he's there tempting you. He's making you doubt. And he's trying to get you in trouble. And you better bet that the devil's around when, you know, when all these temptations and doubts and things are coming your way. And but, you know, this morning I was walking into my office, and I was just walking, and then Lucy said, "I knew you were coming, Brother Ricky. I could listen to the steps." Amen. How many of y'all know how your children walk? Yeah, and you can tell who they are, right? And some of the kids at night, in the middle of the night, you know, they get up to eat a sandwich or something, and we try to guess sometimes, you know. Some kids are really respectful, but some kids, they just don't care, man. They just slam the doors and slam the refrigerator, and, you know, and when kids are quiet, we kind of know that, you know, it's, you know, one of the respectful ones. Amen. And you kind of try to guess, you know. But, you know, it's so important for us to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and to remember some things that that we need in our lives. Jesus said to Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know, with your permission, I like to paraphrase this verse saying, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet they remember. Amen? Yet they remember. And, you know, we human beings, we forget. Amen? We forget a lot of people that have done a lot of good things for us. I don't like, you know, sometimes I sit in my office and I look at what God is doing and where God has brought me to, you know, and I start thinking about the people that have invested in my life, and, you know, I pray for them. I'm the laziest preacher when it comes to writing. I hate to write. Amen? But I do pray for them, and I thank the Lord for them, and I thank the people. I thank the Lord for the people that have invested in my life. And when the children of Israel crossed, when they left Egypt, and they crossed, before they crossed the Red Sea, the Lord told him that they were going to have to remember the Passover. Amen? The Lord told him that they were going to have to observe the Passover every year, and they were going to have to remember the Passover. There in Exodus 12:14, it says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast of the Lord throughout your generation. Ye shall keep a feast by an ordinance forever." Amen? And, you know, the Lord wanted the people to remember how they were able to be saved because of the blood that was applied on the doorpost of their houses. Amen? And one of the things that we should never forget is our salvation. When the Lord saved us and took us out of sin and took us out of the world and took us out of the mess that we were in. Amen? And then later on, the Lord, when they crossed the Red Sea and they traveled through the wilderness and they get to Jordan. And when Joshua takes over after the death of Moses, and they're fixing to go through the Jordan and go across Jordan and fight Jericho and the rest of the cities that they had to conquer, the Lord told them to take some stones, amen, from the middle of Jordan that they would take for and put for a memorial. In Joshua 4:7, it says, "Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." Amen. The Lord said, hey, you've got to observe the Passover so you can remember how you were taken and brought out of the land of Egypt. Amen. That these stones are here, you know, are going to be a memorial so you can remember how I blessed you when you took the steps of faith and I opened the Jordan River and you came across the Jordan River in dry land. And it's so awesome when the Lord saved us and took us out of the world and out of our past lifestyle. And it is so awesome to remember the steps that we have taken in faith, in obedience to the Lord, and started having victories and victories and victories and victories. And folks, we need to remember. David remembered when he faced the giant. He said, man, the Lord took care of me over there with the bear. The Lord took care of me with the lion. And bless God, he's going to take care of me when I fight this big old giant. Amen? And David remembered, and it helped David to remember, you know, what the Lord had done in his life. The Bible says in Psalm 111:4, He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The Bible says that every gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Amen. The Bible says that we need to remember his wonderful works. You know, God, the Bible says if it weren't for his mercies, we should all be consumed. Amen. We should remember the mercies and the compassion of the Lord. How good the Lord has been to us. And I thank the Lord all the time for growing up without a mama, for growing up in a poor home, for growing up, you know, without having, you know, a lot of the things that a lot of the kids around the neighborhood had, because it makes me appreciate, you know, everything that the Lord has given me and the Lord allows me to have. Amen. A lot of times these kids that grow up in good homes and have everything they, you know, that other kids that a lot of kids don't have. You know, a lot of times they grow up without, you know, thanking the Lord for the things that they do have. Amen. But I want to say, you know, that we need to remember the day we were saved. We need to remember the steps that we have taken in faith and in tithing and soul winning and separating from the world and separating from sin and the promises we made to the Lord. And we just need to remember those steps of faith we have taken in the past. Amen. We need to remember His works, and we need to remember God's love. The Bible says in Song of Solomon, it says, "Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. And upright, the upright love thee." You know, we should always remember not only our day of salvation, not only the day when we started growing in the Lord, taking some good steps, but we should remember that God has been so good to us and everything that, you know, as you look back and the opportunities and the blessings and the jobs and the health and everything that God has given us because of his mercy. And then because of his love. Amen. God loves me. Don't get away from that, folks. Amen. Young people, you know, God loves you. And the Bible says we need to remember his love more than wine. And with that in mind, that was an introduction. Amen. But we need to remember, bring back to our mind, you know, the things that the Lord has done. Number one, I just want to say that we need to remember that we need Christ. Amen. We need his person. Amen. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. In remembrance of me. And, you know, the word forget means to let go from the memory. To let it go. To let it escape. Not to think about it anymore. And I don't know about y'all, but we used to have a little dog that used to get away. You know, he liked to get out the door, and every opportunity he had, man, every time they opened the door, that dumb little dog just take off. You know, and one day he took off, and he hadn't been back. You know what? We lost the memory of that little dog. You know, we don't think about, what was the name of that dog? Huh? No, it wasn't Choco. The first Choco. All right. There's a dumb little dog, amen. But, you know, the Lord doesn't want us. The Bible says that we ought to love the Lord with all of our mind, strength, soul, and heart. Amen. And when you love something, you're always thinking about it. Amen. And some people love baseball. You know, every time they get to play baseball, man, they go out there and play baseball. Some people love, you know, these zigzag games. I don't know what they call them. Amen. Video games. Some people, you know, love football and basketball. You know, I love lifting weights. Amen. I'm just a weightlifter. Amen. I'm just kidding. I just started lifting weights two days ago. Hey, man, I was preaching here, and I was getting tired preaching. I said, man, something's happening to me, man. I used to run 5 and 10 miles a day, and now I can't even preach for 30 minutes. And, you know, and it, anyway. But the Bible tells us that we need to love the Lord with all our mind. And
The Bible says that the children of Israel forgot the Lord. It says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remember not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Amen? And, a lot of things cause us to forget the Lord. And if we're not careful, you know, we are human beings and we forget things. How many of you people, how many of you sometimes you say, man, I need this, but I don't know where I put it. How many of you been like that? Yeah, we all been there. Amen? I'm not going to say something that, well, take that bad thought away. Amen. One little girl said, man, no, I better not say it. There's a lot of temptation up here, folks. One of the things that makes us forget is prosperity. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:11 and 4, the children of Israel went into the promised land. Moses says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Amen. You know, the Bible says here, hey, when you get enough food, when you get enough cattle, when you get a nice house, and when you start laying down and going to sleep, you know, the Bible says you need to be careful because you can forget the Lord. Amen. You can't forget to thank the Lord on Monday and thank the Lord on Tuesday. We forget that we need God and God's blessings in our lives. I was standing in a hospital the other day and I was just standing there. I wasn't saying anything. And this man was standing beside me and he said, man, Brother Ricky, he says, what the Lord has to do to get our attention. You know what the Lord has, you know, we were in the ICU unit here in Arlington Memorial, and I didn't say anything, you know, I wasn't preaching to him, saying, man, the wrath of God is coming upon you because you haven't been to church or whatever. No. He just said, man, what the Lord has to do to get our attention, you know? And Uzziah, in the Bible, if you go with me to Second Chronicles chapter 26, the Bible gives us an illustration about Uzziah. Second Chronicles chapter 26. Second Chronicles chapter 26. Verse 3, it says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his fathers Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who understood, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now your teenagers ought to underline that verse right there. Amen. You want God to prosper you and bless you, man, seek the Lord. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the walls of Gath and the walls of Jabneth and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave him gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering of the Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had many cattle, both in low country and in the plains, husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men and went out to wars by bands according to numbers of their accounts by the hands of Hiel and the scribe of Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, and made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all hosts shields and spears and helmets and abergons and bows and slings and to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men, so to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelous helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah went in after him, and with fourscore priests after the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. The Bible says that God blessed Uzziah and he strengthened himself and his name was spread abroad until he got strong. And the Bible says when he got strong, it was to his destruction. Folks, we've got to be careful when we have good cars, good houses, and money in the bank, and we have investments, and we have all kinds of things. We need to remember God. Don't forget the Lord when you leave the house. Don't forget the Lord at work. Don't forget the Lord in school. Don't forget the Lord at the house. You need God. A lot of times, you know, God is so good to us, and we are so undeserving. And God has blessed us so much here in America. And, you know, if you go to Honduras, hopefully many of y'all go to Honduras next year. If you go to Honduras, man, people over there, they don't have a lot of stuff that we have. You know, and they're just happy for a piece of candy or a drink or, you know, we were taking some people back on a bus in a campaign. And there was a young lady, it was a little Arturito and myself, and we were going to drop the last teenage girl. And we went into the store, and I told her, I said, come on in, we'll buy you something. And she came in, and she just stood in the middle of the store. And I said, grab a drink. Oh, no, that's okay. I said, grab a drink. I said, grab some chips. Grab a little donut or something. We'll take care of it. And she was so embarrassed, you know. But, you know, here we drink Cokes, and we eat chips and eat all kinds of garbage. And, you know, we don't even think about it. You know, those poor people, a lot of times, they don't have anything to eat. But, folks, we need to remember the Lord. Amen. Uzziah forgot about God. After he got, elevated, after he got strong, you know, he forgot the Lord. You know, we should not let prosperity destroy us or make us forget the Lord. We should not allow, number two, trials to cause us to forget God. The Bible says, all this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee. Neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Peter was okay walking on the water. So awesome to walk on the water, amen. But when you look to the side, when Peter looked on the side, you know, and he started seeing the storm and the waves, you know, he started sinking down. And, you know, when we get our eyes away from the Lord and we put our eyes on the problems and we put our eyes on the difficulties and the circumstances around us, a lot of times we say, man, I've seen, you know, when I sit sometimes in my office and I see people crying and, you know, and see people, you know, they're worried about stuff. But when you start talking to them, hey, the Lord knows God's going to take care of you. And you start to, you know, telling them about the Bible, telling them about the Lord, the promise of the Lord. Then, you know, they start getting some faith back. Amen. A lot of times people, they just forget, you know, during the times of trials. And folks, we just can't let trials cause us to forget the Lord. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. The Bible says that there's problems to those people that forget the Lord. The Bible says in Job 8:12, it says, while it's yet in his greenness, and not cut down, it withereth before any herb. So are the paths of all that forget God. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. You know, the Bible says that those people that forget the Lord, their trust, whatever they trust in, and, you know, apart from the Lord, the Bible says their trust shall be like a spider web. You know, a spider web is not that strong. It can catch little things, but it's not that strong. And and when the trials come, when the difficulties come, you know, we need something solid to put our faith in. Amen? And Job said that those people that forget the Lord, you know, and put their trust in something else is going to be like a spider web. You know, a spider web, you can remove it with a broom, with all kinds of little things. Solomon was a great king at the beginning. But Solomon started forgetting the Lord. And he started to look for joy and satisfaction in a lot of other things that never brought satisfaction to him. You know, he used to say, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. Man, affliction of spirit, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanity. Man, he tried wine, he tried women, he tried gardens, he tried people that played, he tried all kinds of swimming pools, he tried all kinds of things to satisfy him and make him happy. But he forgot the Lord. Got the Lord. And my friend, let me tell you something. Don't put your trust, don't forget the Lord. Amen. You're going to regret it one of these days. Amen. Number two, and quickly, I want to say that, you know, we need the Lord every day in every aspect of our lives. You know, the Bible says without faith, you know, we can't please the Lord. It is sin if we don't have faith in God and trust in God in everything that we do. Amen. We need the Lord. We need to remember the Lord. Number two, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We need to remember his person. But number two, we need to remember his body. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Mexicans, amen, or Americans, or Africans, or Jewish. That's in the Hebrew, I mean in the Greek, guys. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Folks, we need to remember that we need each other. We need to remember that we need each other. Go with me to chapter 10 quickly. Hebrews chapter 10. You know, it is so awesome. Mikey and I, we were lifting weights the other day. And Mikey's left hand is a lot weaker than his right hand. Man, he's got big muscles on the right hand, and his left hand is a little weak. And when he was lifting weights, you know, the weights were going like this, you know. I said, son, I said, we're going to work that left hand, amen. And we're going to get that left hand strong, and we're gonna get it going. And you know, that body of yours needs that left hand, amen. That left muscle, that bicep, and we're going to get it going, you know. Each and every one of us, whether we think we're strong or weak, you know, we need each other. Amen? And the Bible says that the strong need to take care of the weak. Amen? The strong don't need to think higher than the weak. We need to help the weak. Amen. We need to help each other and lift each other up and be brothers in Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, look with me in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another. Amen. To provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Amen. Folks, let us not forget that we need each other. Amen. And let us not forget that when we come to church, we're supposed to come to church to provoke each other. Amen. We're supposed to push each other, the Bible says, unto love and good works. Amen. And, you know, we ought to program our minds and program our hearts that when we come to church, you know, the purpose of being a church is to encourage each other and to love each other and to, you know, help each other get involved in doing good works for other people. The word consider means to observe fully, to behold. It's in the present and it's continually. You know, we should always be considering each other. You know, what can I do to love somebody at the church? What can I do to love the weak person? What can I do to encourage that person that is not serving God? What can I do? The Bible says that we need to consider each other. Amen. And not to judge each other. Amen. There's only one judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our job as Christians, as one church, the Bible says we are here to provoke each other. Amen. To encourage each other, to love each other. The Bible, the word provoke means to sharpen, to stimulate, to incite each other. You know, when we're at home, a lot of times, you know what happens at the church a lot of times is what you program at your house or in your car when you come to church. You know, you're at your house and you're over there in your house and you're, man, I'm fixing to go to church. Well, I hope so-and-so is not at the church today. You know what you're going to do when you get to church? You know, you're going to start making, if so-and-so shows up in church, you're going to start making faces at so-and-so. You know, folks, when we're at the house and we're coming in our cars, you know, it would be good to write in front of your dashboard, hey, we are going to church and we need to provoke each other unto love and to good works. You know, criticism and negativism doesn't help anything in church services. Amen? And, you know, some people just, you know, when they come to church, they come to church to fight. You know, they come to church to argue. They come to church to judge and condemn. And folks, that's not the spirit of Christ. That's not what God wants us to do as a body of Christ. God wants us to love each other. Amen. And to help each other. The word love is the word agape. You know, the word agape means to love unconditionally. You know, I was preaching last night to our institute. When it talks about the rich people, it says that the rich people should be encouraged to use their riches for good works. I texted this lady the other day in our church. She's been coming and she waxed our fellowship hall, and she doesn't charge us. And I text her. I said, "Hermana," I said, "Do we owe you something?" She said, "No, she said, you don't owe us anything." And she said, "Just leave it there." I said, "Well, that's." She said, "Oh," and she wrote. She texted me back. She said, "I'm just putting some treasures in heaven." I said, "Man," I said, "That thinking is so awesome." I said, "You are thinking the right way." You know, encouraging that person to keep on doing good works. Amen? And that's what we need to do. You know, if somebody does something good, brother, encourage him. Amen? Or don't say, man, I can do it better. You know, don't compare yourself. We don't come. The Bible says that they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Man, we don't come to church to compare ourselves, to judge each other. We ought to come to love each other and encourage each other, to love the Lord and love each other and help each other. Amen? The word good works means morally, to become valuable, to become virtuous. You know, our goal should come, you know, a lot of times when we come to Sunday morning, you know, we come ready with that Sunday school lesson, you know, to teach those kids. Man, I hope these kids are soul winners. And they learn to give, they learn to do this, and they learn to dress and whatever. But what about Sunday night? What about Wednesday night? Do we come prepared to encourage each other and to love each other? You know, I try to say hi to everybody, and I try to shake everybody's hand when I go to church. You know why? Because there's people that are so sensitive that a lot of times they say, man, the pastor didn't shake my hand. And you know what, folks? You never know when it's going to be the last time you shake that person's hand. One day I was coming through the hallway of Spanish church, man. I was going on there, and brother Nehemiah Saucedo was coming out, and I didn't even shake his hand with my right hand. I just patted him with my left hand. I said, hey, brother. The next day, Brother Julio calls me, and he says, Brother Ricky, he says, Brother Nehemiah just died. I said, what? He said, I just saw him in church last night. Yeah, he says, he got electrocuted in his house. I said, man. I said, if I would have known he was going to die today, I would have shaken his hand. I would have hugged him. I would have loved him last night. But you never know. Number three, quickly, we need to remember the person of Jesus Christ, the Lord. We need to remember his body, that we need each other. We need the Lord, folks. Amen? We need each other. Number three, we need to remember his precepts. Amen? We need to remember his precepts. You know, the precepts of the Lord do work. If we put him to work. Amen? If we put him to work. The Bible says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Amen? Consider mine affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. The Bible says that the Lord gave the children of Israel manna when they left, when they crossed the Red Sea all the way up to the Jordan River for 40 years. He gave them manna. You know, the Bible says over there in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Folks, we need to remember his precepts. We need the word of God. The Bible says that the word of God is powerful, and it does a marvelous work in your soul and your mind and your life. You know, the Bible says that we are changed from glory to glory by the Holy Spirit. But the Bible also says that the word of God converteth the soul. Amen? And it's an interesting verb right there. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect. And then it says converting the soul. That means that as long as you read it, as you meditate on it, it's going to keep converting you and converting you and converting you and converting you and changing you. When you stop reading it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to stop changing. You know, when do people get hard? When they get away from the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is like a hammer. It breaks our will. It breaks our heart. It breaks our mind. It breaks our stinking stubborn will, you know. And we need the Word of God, folks. You know, you can't go a day or 2 days or 3 days without the Word of God. You need before you go to bed, when you get up during the day, you need to spend some time meditating on the Word of God and let it get a hold of you. Let it sink in. I tell our institute guys, I said, man, I prefer that you read one chapter a day and you meditate on that thing and you get a hold of it and let it sink into your mind and you understand it, that you read 10 chapters a day and you don't even understand anything of what you read. I love to meditate on the Word of God. We need the Word of God. Why? Because it's going to keep changing us. Amen. The Bible says that, you know, if we keep reading it, it'll keep making us wiser. The Bible says the testimony of the Lord is sure. And then it says making. Amen. In the process, making wise the simple. I used to work for Coca-Cola Company and over there in Chicago, Illinois. And we used to have big old machines filling up those drinks. And it was interesting when a bottle got stuck and that machine just started, you know, throwing Coke and pop all over the place. You know, it was a mess, man. When you stop reading the Word of God, you know, you're not going to get wiser. Young people, especially you, the book of Proverbs says, you put the Word of God in your mind and the precepts and you know, it'll help you. It'll give you long life and it'll prosper you. You know, as long as you read it, and the Bible says it's going to keep converting you, it's going to keep making you wiser. Why is it that some people just keep getting better and better and better in the Christian life? And some people keep getting worse and worse and worse. They go to church, but they get away from the Word of God. You know, as long as you keep reading the Word of God, you're going to get better. Amen? I guarantee you. You say, Brother Ricky, how do you know? Because the Bible says so. Amen? The Bible says in Psalms 1, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and law that he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, you say, Brother Ricky, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a tree. The Bible says, how many of you know when a tree is alive? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you know when a tree is dead? Raise your hand. Right? Doesn't have any leaves. It's all dead. It's crunchy. You can break the limbs and everything. You can just kick it and it just falls down. Right? Now, the Bible says that he that meditates on the Word of God is going to be like a tree planted by the words of God. That's always going to be green. It's always going to be bearing fruit. Folks, you know, we don't see the power that goes into that tree. We just see the fruit. You know, you don't see the electrifying power that this book has. You know, you don't see the, you know, of this book. But man, when you start reading it and meditating on it, brother, it'll keep your spirit humble. It'll keep you producing joy and love and rejoicing in your heart. The Bible says it'll be converting your soul, it'll be making you wiser. You know, it'll keep you rejoicing the heart. Amen. As long as you stay in the Bible, you're going to be rejoicing. It is so hard to discourage a man that stays in the Word of God. But a person that does not read and does not meditate the Word of God, I guarantee you, folks, you're going to be weak and you're going to be going through some trials and you're going to need something to help you. We need to remember his person. We need to remember his precepts. We need to remember his spirit. Amen. His power. We need to remember his body. And last of all, we need to remember his spirit. Go with me to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4 is in the Old Testament. It's close to the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4. There's something interesting here in Zechariah chapter 4. And we are fixing to stop for the time. Verse 1, it says, and the angel that talked with me, he came again and waked me, as a man that is awakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel and talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Know thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You have the lampstand. You have all these little lamps. You know, and the fire and the power and the oil that goes in those lamps represents the Holy Spirit of God. You know, you have these big old trees, the olive trees, you know, and they're strong and, you know, and they're powerful. But the angel says, hey, it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You know, folks, we can be, you know, so strong physically, but if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, we're not gonna be effective in the work of God. We can be so intellectual, and we can be so, have understanding of all kinds of things in life. But if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, young people, you're not going to be effective in the work of God. Lord Jesus Christ promised the disciples, and behold, I send the promise of a Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That word endued is interesting. That word endued means to be, to let it sink into a garment. Amen? This flesh, folks, needs the power of the Holy Spirit to love people. Amen? And to be peaceful and to live the Christian life. You know, Jesus said, without me, ye can't do anything. Without each other, we can't do anything. Without the Word of God, we can't do, you know, great things for God. And without the power of the Holy Spirit, folks, we just can't live the good Christian life. We can't. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Brother, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to affect Jerusalem. You're going to affect Grand Prairie. You're going to affect Oak Cliff. And bless God, the whole world. How is it that the whole world heard about D.L. Moody and Jack Howells and all these guys? They were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, man, I want to be famous. I want to be powerful. Well, get on your knees and humble yourself and ask God to give you his power. Folks, we're not going to be able to influence this area unless we remember that we need his power. Hey, we can have awesome buses, awesome buildings, awesome clothes, awesome all kinds of money, but if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. He strengthens us. He gives us power. We need to remember that love comes from him, that joy comes from him, that peace comes from him, that gentleness comes from him, that goodness comes from him, that faith comes from him, that meekness comes from him. The Holy Spirit can empower us. Say, man, Brother Ricky, I have trouble with my temper. Well, if you get the power of God, you're gonna be able to control that spirit. You say, Brother Ricky, man, I'm having trouble with being obedient. I'm kind of rebellious, man. I don't like to obey. Well, the Holy Spirit will give you some meekness so you can calm down. Amen. You know, you say, Brother Ricky, how can I stop being rude and ugly to people? Man, I just I can't get along with people. If you get the power of the Holy Spirit, you can get along with people. Amen? The Bible says you can be gentle and you can be kind if the power of the Holy Spirit helps. Man, you know what? I'm a mess without the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm a mess. I can't do the work of God. I can't be a good dad, man. I can't be a preacher. I can't be a good husband, man. When I see my need, brother, I just need to remember that I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, we need the precepts, we need each other, and we need God. May the Lord help us to remember those things that we need. We can't do anything without God, folks. Can't do anything without His, without each other. You know, I was in I was in Honduras for almost 2 weeks without my wife and my kids. Man, I was going crazy. Amen. Go crazy. We need each other. We need the encouragement, the love of each other, to provoke each other. We need the precepts of the Word of God. They work, folks. Sunday morning, this man in Spanish church, he said, "Brother Ricky, you know what? We haven't been tithing. We haven't been giving." He says, "But this year, bless God," he says, "we've overcome that. And we started tithing and we started giving to missions." And he said, "Brother Ricky," he says, "it is awesome." He said, "Man," he said, "things, the blessings of God are coming down." Folks, the Word of God works. We just got to remember what to do with the Word of God. Amen. That's our word of prayer. Father, thank you for today, for your blessings. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I hope, Lord, that you will help us this, the rest of this week and the rest of this year. Lord, that we need you so bad. Oh.